There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand.
Welcome. Resurrection Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. RTR Reloaded with Lori Anderson and Eric the Freedom Screamer and Tom Lacavera Stewart here. We are expecting Shauna Cox any minute now. She was scheduled to be there, but, you know, things are crazy. We got some great news. Is she here with us?
I am.
Awesome. Shauna.
Shauna.
Yes, God, I'm so excited right now.
Yeah, I heard happiness going on in the background here.
Yeah.
Welcome back, well, Shauna.
Thank you. Yeah. All right, appreciate it.
I'm still sitting behind a fence, but I'm freer than I was a little while ago.
That is so great, and that's what these guys are going to be doing. They're still on house arrest, but they are going to at least be out. They aren't out yet. They will be in the morning. We do have Ryan has been out, you know, for 2 weeks. His time was changed yesterday, so he's on a curfew instead of, so at least he can stop at the grocery store or do something else instead of a beeline straight to the court and back to the house. Now, today, they decided to let Hammond out, and Ryan Payne will, but he won't be released till in the morning. Hammond won't be processed till in the morning. And then we have Ryan Payne, and his hang-up for tomorrow is we're hoping to get an okay or a sign-off by the Judge Brown out of Oregon, and then he will have a place to go. And then we have Cliven, who was released but declined the release. He didn't make a statement there, but I know what his thoughts were, because he had said this many times before.
He's yeah, we know what his thoughts are. God bless that that man. God bless him. I know why, too. And he probably doesn't want to be released until everybody else is released, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
God, the tenacity. Yep. I love it.
I mean, you have to respect that.
Absolutely.
He's an honorable man. He said they came to help me. I'm not leaving them without him.
God bless him. You know, that's just that just speaks to the spirit of what he's doing. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, as I understand,
the fight's not over.
The fight's not over. It's not over yet. But, you know, in a little while, we're going to play a clip you probably already heard. But it's a lawyer's show, oddly enough, and they were sitting together and discussing nullification and the government's failures, and that they really should probably just throw in the towel at this point. I think that people are starting to, even in the Bar Association lawyers community, they're starting to realize that this is a losing battle that's costing the taxpayers. I don't know, what does it cost the taxpayers up to this point?
Oh, my Lord.
Oh.
Well, let's just say hundreds of millions. How's that?
Oh, yeah. Hundreds of millions of dollars to collect an alleged $8,000 worth of fees for management that never occurred, based on a lie that really didn't happen. It's insane. It's insane.
Well, right. Well, Tom, you know, that's that Washington, D.C. balancing act, just like the debt and the deficit, right? Because with the deficit, as you know, they like to say, oh, we reduced the deficit, but in reality, they increased the debt because it's actually more than what was projected the year before, just less than what they projected that they were going to give. So it's just the way Washington does math. They love that common core.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have to first just apologize real quick to our listeners out there. You guys are probably going to hear noise. I'm in still federal detention in the halfway house. It's amazing that I can even do this show at all from here, but you know, I'm blessed and I'm happy about it, but there's a lot of people walking around and there's just nowhere for me to dip off to, so I apologize for any noise in the background. It's unavoidable. So what else is going on, Shauna? Can you bring us up to speed on everything?
Yes, the government has been being chastised, I should say. I call it spanked. It seems like almost every day where it's just getting more and more, where we expose their lies and the corruption, the things that they've denied that were there. We've told them, asked for this information, and they have denied that it was actually there, like cameras that were up on the hills. They had layers that they were overlooking the place. And we asked for the videotapes. We asked for all of the we told them there was, you know, we talked about the snipers. They denied there was any snipers. They got more information today that pictures, actually more pictures that we have of them, plus the camera that was out there with armed guards around it. There's all kinds of stuff that was that's being exposed that is catching them in many lives. And these people that they sent in as government employees that are their biggest, greatest statement is, I don't recall. I don't recall. Everything's I don't recall. Suddenly, you know, they've got amnesia. They're fearful when they never were fearful. All kinds of stuff, and it's beginning to show the jury exactly the truth. So we're happy and we're excited about that. But there's more yet to come, and we just want the truth. We want justice, and we want the truth to be known. You know, the people in America need to stand up if we're going to save the Constitution at all. We've got to do it together, so we've got to stay united. It's all coming from the hand of God, I'm telling you that. And just miracle after miracle, we're so grateful. Grateful for those people who've been standing with us and supporting, and the letters, the calls, the people show up. It has been super that we can unite together for a cause for this whole world. The world's watching. Every country, almost every country, has been in great support and watching in awe as things are taking place. It's just totally amazing.
That's a fact. I've been contacted by folks in the UK, New Zealand, Australia, Italy, and a few other places.
Russia, they're just, Germany.
All over. They're watching.
Yes, all over.
Yeah, it's really amazing to see. And, you know, I just can't get over that clip that I was listening to. It's a former prosecutor and a couple of attorneys, and they were discussing the whole nullification issue, which, you know, they'll go on and try and say isn't really legal. Of course it's legal. It's absolutely legal. But, you know, this case...
It is legal.
You're right. This case has brought...
It's not legal in their world.
Oh, so I know. Such a focus of nullification. Right? But, I mean, nullification has been brought... I mean, we've discussed it, and we've pushed nullification, really trying to get the information out there to the public time and time again. But from Oregon to Nevada, I think that nullification is this. If nobody brought attention to it before, like Cliven did, it's on everybody's lips now. People are starting to understand that the power of that jury is the ultimate power, the power of the people. And if you can get your case across without being shut down, or denied to share certain information. And if the government, of course, with all of their resources, it's really kind of it's stacked against anybody who goes up against them. Some 99% conviction rate, because I think it was they were saying this, and I was aware of this before these lawyers mentioned it. Judge Antonin Scalia said, "We don't really have a justice system anymore. We have a plea bargain system. It's you can either take a year or you can face 10. Well, let me think. You know, I have a wife, I have kids, I have responsibilities. A year or 10 years. It's kind of like I look at it as the definition of coercion. But of course, when you go in to take your plea agreement, they say to you, well, you're admitting that you haven't been coerced or in any way, you know, like, really? I mean,
I know that blows me away. Yeah, nobody forced you. Nobody asked you to, you know anybody because you're making this plea on your own. Yeah, what?
Yeah.
After you punished them and threatened them and told them all kinds of things, you gotta be kidding.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in the Lane County Jail, I requested to go to the law library so that I could start, you know, researching different laws that I might use to defend myself with. And it was like pulling teeth to get there. And when you did get there, they would only give you an hour, and they would give you a pencil and a little bit of paper. No printer. You can't print anything out. And with me, I have damage to my predominant hand, tendon cut. I can only write short little pieces at a time without my hand cramping up into a ball. Now I'm sitting there trying to write case law down, and of course, you can write the laws down, but you can't sit there and write it out page after page to take back with you and read to you. That's I mean, so they give you the face of, so they can tell the public, well, we have a law library, and we give them access to it. You've got to be joking.
Yeah.
That's a travesty.
You have a photographic memory, you're good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, with all of the time that you have to sit there, if you could print these pages out, even if you had to pay for it, so what? If you could print this out and sit there and read, maybe, you know, things would end up differently. I don't know. But the point is that this justice system that we were told that was supposed to exist doesn't really exist the way many people who've never been caught up in this system thinks that it does. I mean, they provide the bare bones minimum so that they can tell the public that they've provided it, but the public, without getting to really see it, they have no idea unless they're told. And it's really just, something's got to be done about it. I promised people when I was in there that I wouldn't shut up about it, and that we would do something about it. And it just, it has to be done. It has to be done.
True. And we are. We're working on that, right? Wake up America and let them, so they understand what their rights are, so they can stand for them.
Absolutely.
You got to claim them first. You got to claim them first.
Yeah. Well, it was nice finally talking with Ryan again the other night, and it's so good to hear the sound of his voice. I saw pictures of him finally being able to sit down and have a steak dinner after, God, how long did he spend? That was just, it was nice.
That was great.
kids were so excited. Just, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for. We still have a long road ahead of us, but so much to be thankful for. From the Hammonds,
well,
you know,
I mean, phenomenal.
Well, I'll be fine. You know, I was chatting with Donna Hammond the other night, and she and my Lori got to get to be good friends. And what salt of the earth people, when you have people like the Hammonds, like the Finnecombs, and like the Bundy family, who are tied up in courts, they were pushed to the point where they feel they have no choice but to take a stand and draw a line in the sand. You got real problems. And when I was there at the ranch, we had sheriffs that came from across the country. I mean, lawmen, badged lawmen, and they're standing there, all these the mainstream media, anti-government, anti-government, anti-government. You have sheriffs from all over the country standing there saying, we support the premise of what these people are standing for. How it just blows my mind, the false narrative out there that this is some kind of anti-government anarchist movement. but they're walking around with copies of the Constitution in their pocket. It blows my mind. I just can't wrap my brain around that.
Wow. Me either. Maybe. Yeah, not anti-government. We're for good government.
Yeah, limited, as it was supposed to be. Right, righteous, just
the
honorable.
Law of the land.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we've got a lot to clean up from the Clinton era on. I mean, from much before that, but. You know, I was talking with Laz, and we were talking about that Uranium One deal. They're really starting to get into that. Finally, now, you know, it was all supposed to be a big conspiracy theory when it was just us talking about it, right?
Sure.
But now
Demonized
we see
if you talk about it,
right? Now we see that not such a conspiracy theory. Now they went after Trump, saying, you know, Russian collusion this, Russian collusion that. When the real Russian collusion story was in the background, and they were drowning it out, that's
wow.
What really blows my mind. The whole Uranium One and 20% of the uranium stockpile being sold off to a Russian corporation with ties to the KGB. It's amazing. It's an interesting time to be alive, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yep. Good things are happening. Bad things happen too, but we can't ever give up, and we have to have faith, hope, and perseverance. So we will definitely keep working here. I hope you guys keep working there.
Oh, we're going to keep on working on it. I also heard Dr. Wessler was released. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, we took pictures of him. We were there when a few months ago when he was actually sentenced, and they absolutely weren't going to let him out. He's 93 years old. It was a great day today. They did let him out on pretrial, the same kind of thing they're doing with these guys on, you know, like on a probation. And they had to, it's a supervised release is what they call it. But at least he's on house arrest. You know, they can go to court and they can go maybe to church, but that's about it. And I think they even let him maybe go to the grocery store once a week.
93 years old in federal prison. Can you tell us a little bit of the background behind Dr. Wessler? Do you know much about it?
Dr. Wessler, when I was at the hearing, Dr. Wessler is actually a war hero. He was in the era of in World War II when they got the people out of Germany. During the time of, I can't think of her name. Anyway, they helped get the people out of Germany at the time, and he was in the military. He also went to Canada, got his doctor's degree, went to school there, and then he moved to America. He's been a doctor for over 60 years, and he was found by an undercover that kind of did a sting operation on him and one of his co-workers, and found him guilty of distributing, controlled substances. But really what it was is he said that he had gone to, when he was about 80-something, he had gone to Salt Lake City to learn about this new medication that they were giving to help people that were addicted to things like heroin and meth, that kind of stuff, instead of using the methadone. Anyway, I need to get off. I got some people here. And
it's 93 years old. God, thank God he's out too. And we're going to be talking to the folks out there about the book that you wrote. I was just on Amazon, and the reviews are pretty good. It's called The Last Rancher Standing, The Clive and Bundy Story, A Close-Up View. All of you, you can go to the link in the podcast, and please, we're going to put a link in our podcast for tonight. You can click on that, and I ask everybody out there, you know, to support the people who are taking a stand, like Shauna and the rest of the Bundys. Thank you for joining us, Shauna. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And God bless you, too. Keep it up.
All right.
There's
talk
hope.
To you soon.
Everything's going to work out.
Yes,
amen,
ma'am.
Amen, Shauna.
Right?
Amen. All right. Amen.
Love you. Thank
you. Love you, too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Now, Tom, we have a caller. Yeah. If you want to take the caller before we play that clip that you were talking about.
Yeah, sure. Who's the caller?
The caller's name is Alan. How are you doing tonight, Alan?
Hello?
Alan, you with us there?
Yeah, I'll make this real short. I'm pretty sure this is in all areas. If you do go through the judicial system, they have to provide you. I know that's the way it is here in this state anyways. I'm in West Virginia, and I'm pretty sure it's in all states when I used to study law. But I don't remember exactly where I read it, but I'm sure you guys can find it. But they have to provide you with the same amount of resources that they're using to prosecute you with. In other words, it could be anything from a investigator or whatever. They have to spend the same amount of resources on your defense if you're going there as indigent or, you know what I'm saying, like a public defender or whatever.
Sure.
They are spending on to convict you to get a fair trial. And I can't remember what that law was called.
That never happens, though.
Equal access to justice.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It happened with me one time when they was trying to railroad me, and they didn't like that too well, but they had to do it. So I'm just saying that that's something that they usually don't like to. I don't fool with them anymore. I don't even go to their courts. I've done proof that they don't have jurisdiction. But I'm saying before I stepped out of that system, that's what I done, and that worked well for me because they don't want to pursue it and spend that kind of money. But anyhow, that's all I had to say, and I figured you guys, one of you, if you was interested in it, you could find it.
Well,
no,
I
thank you. I am familiar with that. The problem is when you're in, trying to yell and scream about it just doesn't, you know, I think that maybe after the fact that this, at least in my case, you know, I have some major complaints that I'm going to follow up on, but, you know, I had complained about that.
That's why I don't play their little games in there. I don't step into their jurisdiction, period. And once you prove that they have no jurisdiction, they're pretty much shut down right there. And it's not
I agree. I agree. I was almost out.
It's like playing a ball game on their rules, and they change the rules whenever they want to. It's just there's no way to win. Pretty hard to win, you know.
The only way to win is with the and if you take it the way is with the jury or not having or, you know, denying them jurisdiction over you, which I was so close. You know, we were doing that, and it just Ammon, he called and I went and I tell you what, when they put you in a box and you're trying to get anything done like that, I had people sending me paperwork that I needed to do the rest of what I needed to do, which is exactly what you were talking about, and it was just being sent back to them. I was being denied my mail. I have at least 10 people, that can step forward and tell them that not only did they go to their website to make sure that the address to the location that they were sending me my mail was accurate, but that my numbers were accurate. They took photos of things, and this mail never got to me. They would not let me have it from about four different states.
I spent a year I spent 2 years total, and I spent a year in lockup. In a solitary, chained to a wall, which was totally unlawful to be chained up while you're inside, incarcerated.
Sure.
And so I know exactly what you're talking about. They do everything they can to break you down. They freeze you to death, or they burn you up, or don't give you any clothes or covers. Or I mean, it's just they play all kinds of games. But anyhow, you know.
Yeah, but that's not coercion.
The best thing I found was not to play their game. You know, don't play their game, and that way there's no, you can't lose if you're not playing.
Well, I know that I have a friend out there right now who's probably jumping up and down cheering you on right now. Sal, we're thinking about you for this little segment. A good friend of mine who is he's found his way. God bless him. And we're working together now to do what should have been done before I ever went to these locations. You know, I talked about it and talked about it. I was so busy with the show. And you know what? My wife tried telling me. She tried getting my butt into gear to get everything done, and I didn't listen to her. And you know what? That's what I get. That's what I get, folks.
Yeah.
Ah, that's what I get. But you know what? That just goes to show you, sometimes when you're telling your wife, tomorrow, you better get around to today what you were going to do tomorrow.
That's what I tell everybody that wants to try to learn. They want to learn, you teach them, and then you set them up with the paperwork, and then they just don't want to file. They're too scared. I don't know what their problem is, but I said, okay, you know, I've done anything I can do for you, so you're on your own.
Well, I certainly wasn't too scared. I mean, I'm doing a radio broadcast from I'm still in. But it's what I did was, I was so busy with the show and running, was helping running a horse ranch, and I just, you know, I was tired. By the time I had any time to sit down, it was always, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it, and tomorrow never came, and that will never happen to me again. I promised my wife, and I promised myself that will never happen to me again. This is getting done, and it's going to be over with. I just want to live my life free and in peace. And I imagine the rest of our audience wants to do the same. So it's a crazy situation. But thank you for your call, brother.
Bring them the information. Do the best you can do. That's all you can do. So thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Boy, how true is that? If you don't get any other message than that, don't procrastinate and do put off to tomorrow or the next day what you can do today, because you just might find yourself in a situation where you're in a box and unable to do the things that you wanted to do. Well, Lori, I'd like to. When do we have our next break? I don't have my time clock. 2 minutes, okay. When we get back from the next break, I'm going to share with you guys a clip of some lawyers. And there's a reason I want to share this. You guys are going to grind your teeth a little bit when you hear this, or a couple spots. But for the majority of what you hear these folks saying, I think it's really, really important. Lori, you're familiar with the clip that I'm going to share. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You listened to that. When I mentioned it to you, you just had a there you go. There's a reaction.
The attorneys, okay, you have the attorneys, and you know they're trying to defend the bar, and I'm going to set it up in the way that because you can tell when you're listening, and one of them, you know, is really trying to push jury nullification is illegal and blah, 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 and they're not an attorney. Yeah. But here's the kicker, okay? The audience needs to realize they're attorneys talking to each other, trying to get this message out to other attorneys. So it starts becoming even more funny when you listen to it. But one of these attorneys shocks the other two, because the other two, you know, are trying to justify this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not going to ruin it, and that's why I'm saying blah, 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 blah. So, but this other attorney, she's great. And even though she doesn't dispute against them that jury nullification, quote unquote, is illegal, which it's not, by the way, it is constitutional and to the foundations. However, the stuff that she says blows this other male attorney's mind, and you just really want to hang in there and listen to it, because I'm telling you, it's awesome, it's priceless, and if you have a good knowledge of what is going on, you're definitely going to get a couple of giggles out of it as well, because they're starting to feel threatened when they have to address this in their realm.
We'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Well, Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Under who? Under who? Ha ha ha!
I believe that would be God.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
I am American. That's what I am, that's what I think and what I do.
Alright, welcome back, folks. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Now, I wanted to share this clip with you of these lawyers in Las Vegas. This is going to just tickle you pink when you start hearing them banter around back and forth. Go ahead and roll that clip.
Some of the nation's most elite, most powerful lawyers are right here in Las Vegas.
Uniquely human capacity for free will. These truths are hard to accept.
Robert Aglet recently won the largest judgment in the nation, $524 million.
He is what I would call a burn the courthouse down advocate.
Objection, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Paul Patta, a former federal prosecutor and rated as one of the top 100 lawyers in the nation by his peers.
We seem to live in a system where the machine just continues to move forward.
Christian Morris, in a profession historically dominated by men, Christian Morris has already proven her skills in and out of the courtroom and is also rated as one of the top 100 trial lawyers in Nevada.
We've just heard from the other side. Now let me tell you the facts.
Vegas Lawyer, brought to you by 360daily.net.
The Bundy verdicts are in, and it's strike two for the feds. After a second trial ending last week with most of the charges dismissed by the jury and a few charges resulting in a hung jury, the feds are set for round three. Many observers attacked Judge Navarro's rulings limiting the defense from citing the U.S. Constitution and mentioning the BLM's actions prior to the incident that resulted in the charges. The FBI also has been criticized for pretending to be journalists in order to gather video evidence. Did the feds just not make their case, or was this jury nullification? What role, if any, should jury nullification play in criminal cases? Well, Paul, this is right up your alley.
No.
This is your former office. What happened?
You know, I mean, the government always has the burden of proof in a criminal case to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a crime was committed. And I think, you know, people who are upset with the judge's rulings, I think that's just misplaced. I mean, it's a tough job being a judge. You make rulings based on how you think the evidence comes in. I think the U.S. Attorney's office in this case just can't seem to make the case. I mean,
well, the
jury
people who are
not
upset with the rulings, I mean, they essentially won, right?
They won, yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, at some point somebody has to do some introspection and say, this is now a second federal jury that has exhaustively looked at all the evidence the government has put on the table and said no.
And they were acquitted on most of the charges and hung on a few. How many times are the feds going to try this same case? They've now twice.
There's
right?
a 99% conviction rate in the federal government.
Oops.
And so for this is definitely the exception to the rule. Yeah. But, you know,
isn't there a 99% conviction rate because no defendant can ever match the resources of the federal government when it comes to prosecuting them?
That's true, and I think the laws definitely skew in favor of the government, and the judges often will give the government, you know, I mean, the argument is often judges will say, well, if you want to contest the charges, you can go to trial. And what happens is most people say, well, you know what, the consequences are so severe under our sentencing guidelines. Again, going back to the 1980s when there was this overreaction in Congress and they created these sentencing guidelines that impose very severe penalties on people who decide to opt to exercise their constitutional right and test the government's evidence at trial. So a lot of people, you know, Justice Scalia once wrote an opinion that we no longer really have a criminal justice system. We have a system of plea bargaining where people plead guilty because they don't want to, you know, take the chance.
You know, I'm not trying to defend Bundy or his, you know, followers out
far
there
be
anyway.
It, from that.
It just seems like to me, and I don't know what you think, Christian, but isn't enough? I mean, they've lost this trial twice, essentially.
Right.
And
without providing all the evidence.
More taxpayer monies, and with the few charges that were left, there was a hung jury. They want to try this case again. And now, I guess, it's not long from now that the actual Ted Bundy case itself is coming in. I mean, isn't this kind of a sign of what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think it is. I think they just need to keep
Ted
up.
Bundy?
I mean, the other thing
I know.
Oh, really? Really?
So
he went there?
They couldn't raise the defense of, you know, free speech and the right to bear arms in this case. Everybody knows those rights. And so what the jury is looking at, they're seeing through everything else. I think it is impressive, these verdicts coming out. I think it really speaks to why there was so much outrage about the case, why it got so much press, why there were so many people that came and supported them, because, you know, we are not supposed to be overthrown by the government and told what to do, and they can't play those games. And I think that, you know, I don't think it was jury nullification at all. I think it was citizens of the United States sitting there and seeing the overthrow attempt and saying, absolutely not, we're shutting it down. And you know what? If they want to keep doing it, I hope the verdicts keep coming out the way they are, because I really do think it sends a message as to how powerful we are as individuals. And I think it speaks to the patriotism of everyone who, I mean, whether you agree with it or not agree with it, I think the principle behind it is the government can't come in and just do whatever they want and, you know, shut down anything that they choose to shut down. And so I like the message that it sends. And I think it's so rare that we have it for them to continue to try. I mean, thank you for continuing to try and losing, because the message that comes from it is pretty powerful.
But before we get into the jury nullification details, I want to ask the only non-lawyer in the room here, Charlotte, what is your thought about, okay, they've the verdict and they've tried this case twice.
I think the government's embarrassing themselves, and I was going to ask, who's going to get fired over this? I mean, don't offices at the federal get reshuffled after?
We have a was this Myrie, this by the way? Yeah, was this Myrie again? Okay.
This is Steve Myrie. Yeah,
I mean, do you think somebody's going to be losing their job? Or
I think they should. I mean, if you're a quarterback on a losing football team, you usually lose your job. I mean, the government, you know, there's
football,
jobs
huh?
Even if you're in college, should do that. I think that's why the pressure for prosecutors just to win, no matter what the facts are, is there, because they might lose their job if they lose, as opposed to just going on the facts. And I think that's the danger we see in whether it's state or federal. Like, they just want to win, regardless of what's.
Yeah,
going
I agree with Christian there. I think if you, I don't think the. As much as I'm not a fan of Steve Myrie, I don't think he should lose his job, or any prosecutor should lose their job for simply losing a case. I mean, that's the system, and I think she's right. That puts this overpressure on prosecutors to win at all cost. And
well, when we say lose your job, I'm not suggesting you should be outright fired per se, but you don't necessarily need to be the head of an office if you don't have good judgment and you don't exercise discretion and look at evidence and say, you know, I think this is going to be an uphill battle making this case. I don't
really
necessarily think you need to be the captain of the
or
ship.
Hiding evidence.
So when we say fired, I'm not suggesting you should be fired from the government. But I just want to take exception to one of the things you said. The Bundys are not civil rights heroes, okay?
Yeah.
Let's not equate them to Martin Luther King and say that they were out there. There was a lot of things that they did. They were defiant in terms of not paying taxes and using public lands. You know, Senator
Reid was breaking
the law.
Stop.
They were
breaking
the law. I mean,
can you pause that clip? Now, did you hear the lie that was just told in a room of lawyers who already admitted the government's foul up in this, right? Mm-hmm. Said that he was they were defiant and not paying their taxes, along with that meme again. I want to make it clear. Cliven Bundy has always paid his taxes. Yep. These are management fees by a governmental corporation that essentially is supposed to be land managers of the people who were trying to. They said, "What is it that they had on their wall?" I keep saying, "No more moo in '92, cattle free in '93." That is a political agenda. That is not land management. That is using terrorism under the color of law, and he just perpetuated that lie. And it's important, as a matter of fact, anybody who says that, I'm going to reserve this clip and send it to Cliven Bundy's attorneys and tell them to very carefully look at that, because this man is putting out propaganda. It's a lie, and it's slander. It's slanderous, and it has harmed the Bundys in a great way for these people to call them welfare ranchers when that is absolutely not the case. Now, they said that they owed millions of dollars and all of this mm-hmm. business, and then it came out. How much did they actually – that they could only prove that they owed? I think it was something like $8,000 or something like that.
Yeah, $8,815, I believe, is what that was. And let's not forget, Tom, Cliven also tried to pay it to the state – they would not take it, and he put it in escrow.
Yes.
So it's not like he refused to pay the money. That's the way they wanted to paint this, which is not accurate at all.
Right.
Pay and fight.
Right.
And, you know, when you pay somebody for a service, like what the BLM is supposed to be doing, they're supposed to do something. Show me anywhere that the BLM is on the land.
Oh, but they were doing something.
Cleaning it up, you know.
Don't you know they were doing something? They were going no more moo in '92 and cattle free in '93.
Yeah,
that's what they were
doing. Remember, if you remember, Tom, I did a video about that a couple years ago when I found out. And you can get that on Tom's YouTube as well as on mine, and it shows them and exposes them because somebody that was in that meeting was smart enough to record it, and they were bragging about stealing veterans' property at almost no cost and using Washington, D.C. to do it.
And laughing about it.
And laughing about it.
This is not the law. This is a nope. this is the under the color of law, politicized and using the government as a essentially an agency of government as a terrorizing force against American families. This mm-hmm. is insane.
That's also a way to drive them with the Wildlands Project map. Remember that one, Tom, because it's also a way to drive people from one area to another area to herd yep. them like cattle into the
Agenda
areas that they
21.
Want them to live. And yep. when you look at that Wildlands Project map, those teeny tiny black dots, which are where the people are allowed to be, is only 10,000 people per black dot. Somebody do the math, because a lot of people are going to have to die for that to be implemented. So you need to pay attention to that. All of this interconnected with
it. I guess I suppose I have to be thankful that I am in my free speech zone at the
Woo-hoo.
Moment.
I'm proud.
I can't actually believe it, but you know, it is what it is, and you know, we could go on with the rest of that. You think that the audience should hear the rest of that, or should
yes,
we just
post it? Yes. Oh no, trust okay. me, you're going to want. But let me let everyone know, you're going to hear a lot of lies, and you're going to hear how they're perpetrating to the professionals. Because remember, these are attorneys talking to attorneys, and these are putting it out to the professionals out there, the quote unquote professionals, if you will. So this is, and our followers know the truth because we cover this all the time. So they'll be able to pull out that propaganda very quickly. But that lady who spoke out and said she was glad that it was happening and hopes it keeps happening, man, oh man, she kind of ticks them off just a little bit.
Oh, she does. And I she was my favorite one, of course.
She is, of course.
She absolutely. Okay, so roll the rest of that clip, if you would.
These are not.
Then they pulled guns on federal agents.
Right, but the issue here is an issue of parity. Do we, you know, what I think the jury did is looked at the evidence and said, you know, it's troubling that the FBI went in and did this sort of fake interview, like they were a news channel and gathered evidence. And I think that's what the jury found distasteful about the case, was not so much that the jury
you
was
think?
In favor of the Bundys, as much as they said, we think if you're the government, you have to play by certain rules.
It was the way in which the Justice Department
exactly.
the department went about investigating and prosecuting this case, I think, that turned the jury off. It wasn't that they were cheering for the Bundys and their conduct out there. I think Paul's right on that. But let's talk about this whole idea of jury nullification for a moment, because under Nevada law, jury nullification is illegal. It is not legal for a jury to ignore the legal instructions and say, we don't care what the law is, we're going to find it this case this way regardless, whether it's in the criminal or civil. Is that what is it in this federal system?
They are the authority.
But I've never understood this concept of jury nullification, because ultimately the jury is saying we don't find the evidence persuasive, right? I mean, I think
that's what their verdict is, right? Allegedly, and people are claiming, well, was this jury nullification? The concept of jury nullification is basically, you know, the jury getting the instructions on the law and looking at the instructions and say, we don't care that that's what the law is. We're not going to follow that law. The classic situation,
checks
and this
and
is the classic case of jury nullification, is where is you know, somebody murders somebody. I hate to use this example. Sorry, Tracy. Somebody murders my wife. Okay.
Okay.
And they are on trial for first degree murder, and they are acquitted.
Yeah.
And as soon as the jury comes back with the acquittal, I walk into the courtroom, and in front of the judge, the jury, and the press, and it's on camera. I take a gun and shoot the murderer and kill him right in the head. Okay, now I'm charged with murder, as I should be. Okay, and the jury hears the whole evidence, and they know what murder is, and they say, and they refuse to follow the law. They refuse to do what the cameras show, what all the witnesses show, what I admit to on the stand. I went in,
here.
I killed.
One more time here. I just can't let him just go on with unrebutted. Okay.
Oh well, wait a minute. I got to tell you something, Tom, before you do that, so you can add to witness.
But
I promise. I promise. Because you're going to want to add with it.
Go ahead. Okay. I'm going to use my train of thought.
So, Nevada Revised Statute 1.030, application of common law in courts. The common law of England, so far as it is not repugnant to or in conflict with the Constitution and laws of the United States, or the Constitution and laws of the state, shall be the rule of decision in all the courts of this state. That's Nevada. Go ahead.
Thank you. That, you know, I'm actually glad that you stopped me. Okay, now, what is the supreme check and balance that we have with that jury? This jury, those grand are jury. The people. That is where the power resides in that courtroom, is with the people. This man is using an extreme straw man argument to say, well, if I just blasted somebody and they have all the evidence and they found me not guilty. That's not what jury nullification is used for. Jury nullification is used when the people think that a law is overbearing, it's tyrannical, or inappropriately applied. That is not what nullification is. Now, I doubt that anybody in this country could get together 12 people and say that if you walked in and premeditatedly smoked somebody and shot them down, that there would be any common sense to any – just to hear him use such an extreme example under these circumstances when so many lies – by the federal government have been exposed. See, this is why juries have that power. It's why they have the power resides with that jury. So when they catch the government breaking the law, when they catch the government lying bold and bald-faced lies, then they say, you know what? They are the final check and balance in this power structure. What about the consent of the governed? This is a check and balance. But go ahead, roll the clip.
Say, Thomas.
Cameras show what all the witnesses show, what I admit to on the stand. Yeah, I went in, I killed him on purpose, absolutely killed my wife, I killed him. Mm-hmm. And they refuse to convict me because they say we don't care what the law is under these circumstances, we're not going to find that person guilty. That's what jury nullification is. I don't think you can say for sure that it was jury nullification in this case.
Yeah. I don't either. But why wouldn't you claim temporary insanity on that case?
Yeah, you wouldn't get convicted. And a jury would probably, just like I'm thinking of the movie The Verdict, when Paul Newman says, you are the jury, not some statue, not some book, you are the jury. So, I mean, the perception amongst the American public is that they are the ultimate authorities sometimes, not necessarily.
Unless jurors were willing to come forward and say, you know, while we were deliberating, there were people in the jury who said, we don't care what the law says. We want to acquit the Bundy. That's the only.
And that's happened in the past, in our history.
On the part of people.
Yeah. For them to say it's jury nullification, I don't think in this case we know clear cut it's jury nullification. I can't believe how fast this segment went by. We may have to do another one on this topic. Anyway. My producers are telling us that we have to wrap this up, so we'll see you next time.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's funny that they said all of that.
Hey, Lori.
And I believe Chris wanted to say something.
Yeah, Chris wanted to say something in there in the clip roll. Go ahead, Chris. Are you there?
Yes, I am. I've got something for you, Tom. You won't find this on the government computers in prison. But under Chapter 199, Crimes Against Public Justice here in Nevada, you'll find topics like bribery and corruption, perjury, subordination of perjury, falsifying evidence, incompetency of witness, false testifying, false theft evidence, malicious prosecution, obstruction of criminal investigation, things that they do on a day-in and day-out basis, a pattern practice here in this state, destroying evidence, spoliation. These are things that are happening in your case, the Bundy's case, obstruction of justice, stonewalling, denying failure to Brady Act comply with production of all exculpatory and inculpatory evidence. These are things they do on a habitual day-in and day-out basis in this rogue state.
Well, I can't argue with you there. This is what we're looking at. Can you believe? Well, can you believe? Of course, we can believe that this guy. We ran out of time. We definitely. Well, we'll have to do another episode on this subject. I don't think that these to deny reality. And the reality is that the power resides in the people. The people. they created the government. The government didn't create the people. The people created the government. I really, it just blows my mind when I hear these folks who are trying to bring up murder. You like how he threw Ted Bundy in there? You like that?
You know.
My attorney was trying to create the false presumption that the judge is the law. The judge is not the law. They offer opinions. The law itself is a powerful force that's interpreted by the people, not by the judge. The judge might be able to rule on the theory of law as they see it, but that doesn't mean the jury has to buy it when it devises common sense, when it becomes oppressive, tyrannical.
That's right.
That's right. What the jury is there for, to be a safety valve to protect the public from a tyrannical government.
Right. And the jury is the last line of defense. If you're talking about nullification, that is a last line of defense to nullify unconstitutional laws, unethical laws. That is the line of defense for that. In those other trials, even though they withheld tons of evidence, even though they took Eric Parker off the stand in his own defense, being forced to testify because his witnesses weren't allowed, even though they did all these tips and tricks and all this stuff and they thought that they were going to win it, what happened was that wasn't nullification. That was acquittals. They were like, no, not guilty. It was not so much nullification because they weren't going after the unconstitutional rules and regulations that was being flung up there in the first place. They just said, no, they're not guilty of these charges.
You know, Tom, one of the things I've learned very well from Rod Class's case is attacking the word terms they used. They speak in broad generalities, but they kill us with specificity. And this is part of the strategy I use in my defense in my case. In fact, I have to be in court tomorrow morning. We're going to have some discussions, some motions, and challenges to jurisdiction, challenges to the venue and the forum, because how can you be a judge fairly in your adversary's court? It's an impossibility.
Well, you can't. It just doesn't work that way. But we're going to be, we need to keep eyes on Chris's case too, because you know, a lot of this with the Bundys can drown out the other things going on. So I hope that everything goes well with you. I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for you.
Absolutely.
I was in a case this morning with Tom Benson here in Nevada, another patriot that's been trying to restore common law grand juries, and he's been maliciously attacked. He's been locked up for multiple months. They try to associate us all with the Bundys and try to create this patriot mythology that we're all terrorist enemies of the state, when truly the state is the enemy of the people.
That's a fact. Well, folks, we're running out of time for this segment. I think that Lori is going to be back on in the second hour with John Lamb, if we can get him. Folks, I might have to sign out, so God bless all of you. Resurrect the Republic. RTR Reloaded.
I would be happy just to hold the hands I love on this winter night with you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.